Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Penance, and sometimes I can be a real witch.
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 2, Hallow's Eve, Issue 1, Let's Ghost. The cover harkens back to 50s horror pulps, with the title written out in big, spooky letters. Alina and Penance are shown in a creaky, classic-looking haunted house room, with cobwebs, dust, and a broken window with lightning outside. They stand clutching hands as a huge shadow is cast over them. Penance has fire surrounding her other hand, and Alina's head is radiating her psychic lines. The bottom corner has a starburst caption. Terrifying tales. Can our heroes make it out? Can love find a way? Can you burn a Luigi board? Last issue, the whole team together went into a fashion show that had been taken over by the Steam Society. They had built a giant robotic train in order to steal the staff of Baragenos, which is an ancient artifact that the appointed had been trying to get. Today we're zooming forward a couple of weeks, so you were able to stop the train before it hit the antiquities shop and go inside, and Alina bought the staff of Baragenos from the old man there that didn't know that it was a powerful mystical artifact that could potentially doom everybody. We are going to establish that Alina has had a meeting with the asset and handed over the staff. So now the asset has it, and he's working on it in some sort of way. And so we're going to be coming back to that plot line, probably in a later issue, because tonight it's Halloween. Ooh. And so there are bigger things to deal with right now.
Spooky.
The comic opens with a big party scene. It is just a single page, but it's kind of like, you know, that big, all sorts of lights. It's oh yeah, we got all down the page. It's a lot of teenagers drinking out of solo cups. There's music blaring, and just kind of like people partying in this little house party. In the background of the shot, there's John, also known as Puck, in his Halloween costume, which is a reindeer with his big reindeer horns and a Christmas sweater on. He's got kind of like an awkward look on his face, but he's sort of just like in the background of things. Over by John is Ben, also known as Frequency, who is in his dress shirt and dress pants with a cardboard radio taped to his face because he is Radiohead. And nobody gets it. Like, there's a crowd of people kind of like looking around them and like little tiny text bubbles that are asking, like, what is happening here? Especially because the third person that's over hanging out with the two of them is Kalino, also known as Sokotoa, who is currently dressed as Neil deGrasse Maui, a mashup of the famous physicist and Polynesian demigod from Disney's Moana. So he's shirtless with dress black pants and shoes, with drawn-on tattoos of celestial bodies and a fake thick black mustache. So the three of them are just a little disaster over in the corner.
That's the most, like, apt description of what's happening, little disaster.
That's exactly, yeah. We've got all sorts of little, like, they're clearly chattering away, and the people around them have given them a little bit of space because it's, you know, a little weird. Those are some bizarre costumes. But the focus then after that comes to the next panel, which has the two of you. So we have Alina and Sage, and neither of you are in hero costume, right? You're there as your human personas.
I'm wearing the black mask that I usually wear with my costume.
Okay. But did you get the, like, when you're talking with people, are you going, I guess you don't have a superhero name, so you would be saying Alina.
I'm Alina.
Okay.
Yeah. I think people sort of know who I am, but I'm there as Sage.
Okay. So whichever of you is ready first, tell me about what are you looking like? What's your costume? What's going on?
So I'm wearing sort of the type of costume that you would be able to do if you are a teenager and don't really have a mom. So she had a gray cardigan.
Okay.
And some gray pants, and she got some furry gray cat ears.
Perfect. A classic.
She's got whiskers drawn on with Sharpie, and she's going to regret that, but she doesn't realize it yet. And just because she feels more comfortable with the mask on, she put her black hero mask on to complete the look.
And that's like one of those domino masks that's, yes. Okay.
All so right. She's a gray cat.
Alina the gray cat, excellent.
With a black eye mask.
Yes.
Close enough.
So Sage forgot that there was a party tonight.
Okay.
And she panicked earlier in the day and put together, similarly, a haphazard kind of what do I have in my closet costume. Came up with some bangles, some large hoop earrings, a couple weird skirts that she layered on top of each other. And she's going as a fortune teller. She brought her deck of tarot cards, and that was about as Halloween-y as she was able to get.
Excellent. All right. At the party, where are the two of you? Are you kind of like in a corner? Are you out in the middle of the floor? What's going on?
How long is this after the steam incident?
Let's say it's been a couple of weeks.
Okay.
I think I'm running right up to you because I'm scatterbrained. I'm like shoving things into my messenger bag, and I'm just sort of like, I made it, and now I don't know what to do. So I just, like a heat-seeking missile, I was just like, person I know.
I'm avoiding the boys because they look ridiculous.
Okay.
And I, you know, I have to spend a lot of time with them, but I don't have to do it right now. So I'm excited to see Alina because I was sort of making small talk with people I didn't necessarily want to be talking to.
Okay, so Alina came in and you're sort of moving on out from the current conversation.
Yeah.
Extracting yourself.
Yeah. Oh, my friend's here. Gotta go.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. So we move on to the next panel, and now it's firmly focused on the two of you. And you've found sort of a place to sit down. Do you have drinks?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And red Solo cups, needless to say.
Yes, of course.
And so,
mine is secretly just iced tea, but I'm acting like it's something else.
Oh, and what's Alina having?
High C.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because
cooler.
Because we are heroes. You didn't go for the corn Fanta?
No.
In any case, Sage, there is someone at this party that you've been kind of eyeing through the night.
Hmm.
Who is it? Tell us a little bit about them.
Okay, so across the way, I see this guy that I know from my chem lab.
Okay.
He's not my lab partner, but he's lab partners with like a friend-ish. And he doesn't seem to take the class too seriously, and I find that kind of fun.
Okay.
But he is really smart. I've definitely seen him around, and he's always listening to music, which is like sort of aloof and attractive. His name is Cole.
Okay.
And so I'm surprised to see him at this party because he doesn't usually come out to parties. But I haven't talked to him yet because that's way too thirsty for me.
And what is Cole dressed as?
He's got a red shirt on that says Netflix, and he's carrying a bag of ice.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
Every guy in this universe is the worst. This is the worst party.
No, this is my favorite.
So Cole is standing over there. He's talking with a couple of people. He's clearly pretty excited about something. You can see he's got like a huge grin on his face, and he seems to be trying to like plan something with them. But he does have this awkward cooler that like he thought was a really, really great idea, but is now starting to just get a little heavy and cumbersome, and people keep bumping into it.
It's probably leaking.
It's definitely leaking. And we get a panel of Sage, like just sort of a little distracted while Alina's talking to her.
What were you saying?
I was just saying I'm sorry that I was late. I lost track of time, and then I had to figure out which bus to take. And but you know, how are you? What's going on with you?
This party is tragic. The boys over there are hilarious, though. You have to go see them, but like, don't let anybody know that you're talking to them because it's super awkward. I think that John is a reindeer.
One of his antlers just got stuck in the handle of Ben's radio cardboard cutout. And so the two of them are trying to extricate themselves with Kalino trying to help them out. But it's definitely a little comedy, a little disaster. It's just a little disaster.
Somebody needs to Instagram this.
Oh, why would we want a public record?
Do you want to go outside?
Yes.
Okay.
And this is out in Brightside Bay, which is sort of a residential, almost suburb-y sort of area. And so you're out on a little lawn. There's a couple of other people chatting. There's a couple of people that are both in Striped Eagle costumes. And like one of them is like really legit about it. And the other is clearly doing it sort of ironically. Just because, like, you know, for a nice little like thing in there. And then as you're leaving, Cole is suddenly coming out the door behind you, going like, hey, wait up.
Hey.
You're leaving already?
Yeah, it was sort of crowded in there.
Hey, I'm Alina. How are you?
I'm so sorry. This is my friend Alina. Alina, this is Cole. We have Chem Lab together, I think.
Yeah, Chem Lab. And I think English last year, but that was last year.
Hi,
I'm Cole.
Yeah.
Hi, Cole.
And he kind of like hikes the cooler on his shoulder a little bit and like looks at the costumes. Those are great costumes. Awesome costumes.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, dude.
Hey, listen. So I know it's crowded in there, but Halloween. So we're putting together like some people to goof around with a Ouija board. Not sure if you might want to check it. You know, I mean, like, I know it's kind of dumb, but like, maybe fun times. And he's like, he's definitely looking increasingly awkward in each panel, and like, he's pushing his hand through his hair, and it's getting all like messed
up.
Sexy
tousled.
It's sexy tousled, exactly.
Yeah.
But like awkward, nerdy, sexy tousled.
I think that sounds like fun, and I shoot a glance at you, like a very knowing glance. So, yeah, where are we gonna set up?
Just like right down in the basement. Here, let me show you. And he starts to like weave his way through the crowd to get like he's getting back inside and like weaving his way through.
And I grab onto Alina's arm and whisper, "Thank you," and just hold on for dear life because I'm super awkward right at the moment.
Awesome. So the next panel is down in the basement. The night before at this house, there was clearly a party for younger kids because it's like decked out in over the top Halloween stuff. Just enormous cobwebs and like hanging fake spiders and hanging skeletons that all look super fake. Like it clearly was not put together by the host. So you get downstairs and sitting around the table are a couple of your classmates. It is Nancy, Frank, and let's say Dean. So the three of them are kind of down there, and Cole comes around, and all of you are gathered around this Ouija table. And so, like, all right, hands in, and everyone. Then, like, they're all getting their hands in. Where did you situate yourself? Did you situate yourself next to Cole or, like, across
from
Cole?
Absolutely not. No, I'm sitting by Alina.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just give her a short little elbow, and then she just says, you know, quit it.
So
I'm trying to be cool.
So Dean starts it off and he says, spirits, is there anyone here? And the planchet starts to move around the table and it moves down to, I think, the left bottom corner that has yes. And immediately there's like, everyone's kind of like giving little awkward chuckles. Because of course you all dragged it there, you know. There's no question,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and then Nancy is looking around and saying, "What do we ask?
I don't know. What do you want to know from a dead person?
Are we channeling someone specific, or is this just a general seance?
You seem to know a lot about this.
No, I mean I'm just sort of." Boy, is it hot in here? It's hot in here.
Maybe if you take off one of your 15 skirts.
Listen, this is part of my look.
Okay.
At that point, what does your face look like for that panel?
It's red like a strawberry.
Okay, excellent. Glad to hear it. And so then at that point, Cole goes, okay, so let's, what's your name? And it spells out, and it actually, it seems to move around and, you know, we're all dragging it, of course. But it spells out the name Alec Harlow.
Alec.
Alec, yeah. Like, and, but like very clearly. Like, there's no question of, like, it pauses between the two names, and it is actually kind of a little dark and a little creepy down here. What do you do?
I don't know if you're hot. I'm feeling kind of chilly.
Harlow, I've definitely heard that name before. Is that a name at school? I feel like I've seen his name on, like, a trophy or something.
And Frank goes, oh, holy shit. Jake Harlow. He's a running back?
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I think he's the running back at the on the team.
Like
the football team.
Oh.
There's running backs on football teams.
Okay.
Like, and at that point Cole is kind of like nudging Frank, being like, "Don't be an asshole."
Uh-huh.
But Frank goes, His dad's like alive, but I mean, maybe. So, do anyone have his number? Do you want to call him, see if there's an Alec in his family?
That's not traumatic at all. Hi, do you have a dead uncle named Alec?
And Nancy's immediately like, oh, God, Frank, stop being a dick. And at this point, people have kind of moved their hands from the planchet in the middle, and it starts to just gently move on the table. What do you do?
Okay. All right. This was fun, but obviously this was a magnetized table. What's doing that?
Cole is immediately under the table. Just like trying to figure out what's very
and I'm
fresh.
Like feverishly adjusting my skirts. All 11 of them.
And he's going like, it's a card table. It looks like just a card table. Frank, are you doing this?
Can I make eye contact, like, knowingly with Alina? Like, are you doing this?
No, it's not me. I swear.
I think we actually get a panel of, like, the other kids trying to, like, look underneath the table and get the stuff figured out. And the two of you, like, leaning over the table, like, talking close to each other.
Yeah, yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it zooms in on the board for a couple of panels, mm-hmm. and it spells out Death Shroud.
Death Shroud.
Oh, well, that's cheery.
And then everything goes black.
Like the lights?
Like lights shut out, but there's a little window that was like one of those basement windows. It's kind of the small ones. Mm-hmm. And there should have been something out there because you're living in a city. There's lights all the time, but it's just complete blackness, and your stomach gives out from underneath you for a moment, and you are just in a black room. What do you do?
I'm gonna pretend to sneeze and whisper a spell to light a candle.
Okay.
So I feel like there are gonna be candles down there if we're having a fake seance.
Yeah.
So it's like a illumination spell. So I just and some candles light.
Perfect.
And I just make very frantic eye contact with Alina, like, we should leave.
So the candle comes on and we get like a panel of just the six kids sitting around the table. Frank looks like visibly ill. And in the next panel, he's actually throwing up. Mm-hmm. And Dean and Nancy have kind of like grabbed hands and are holding them very tightly. And Cole just looks like white as a ghost. How are the two of you looking as you're in a room? It's vaguely, it's the same like size as the room that you were in before. And it has the major pieces of architecture. Like it has that same window. It has the same stairs going up. But there was all of this clutter and junk. There was a couch, all of that stuff. And instead there's just kind of plywood that's just laying around on the walls. And like there's some stacks of wood pallets.
Oh, we're in a different like the room has changed?
Yeah, the stuff in the room has changed. The Ouija board is still there, and you've still got the table, but it looks much older. Like it's an aged thing.
So my social anxiety is now giving way to just straight up like fear response, which is usually action. So I'm starting to, now I'm going to start like asking rational questions. And so I look at Alina like, we're going to have to figure this out.
Where are we? What happened to all the stuff down here?
Have you ever seen anything of, like, does anything look familiar?
I mean, it looks like it could be the same place, but I mean, who changed the set?
Are our friends conscious or?
Yes, they're conscious. They're kind of like, they are not used to crisis in the same way that you are.
Mm-hmm.
So they aren't, they are kind of like asking some of the same questions.
I can't get a signal. Can you?
No, holy shit.
Where the fuck are we?
Do you think we can get back upstairs and find the guys?
I hope so.
Okay, so hold up. Like, Cole is looking, like, he's handling this better than the others. He's kind of just, but like, taking it slow and saying, so, this is weird.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is he super?
Not as far as you know.
Great.
Is he super?
No.
Okay. No, he's not, but he's like, he's handling this okay, and he said, like, look, we all, like, you came from out of town, and both of you came from out of town, but, like, this is Protean City, you know? Like, these things happen, and I'm sure soon someone's gonna be by, and maybe Crawdad will show up, and, like, this is probably, like, it seems like a spatial distortion. And I'm sure that some heroes will get here, so let's just hold tight.
Spatial distortion? Is this something like a normal occurrence? Like a power outage? Spatial distortion.
I mean, not great, like not super common, but like, come on, tell me you haven't like seen freaking Kraken coming out of the sea and tell me that this seems that much weirder.
First of all, I think his name is Kraken.
Really?
Second of all, no. This is strange.
Yeah, man, I don't think we can just wait to see if someone showed up. If this is a distortion of some kind, who's to say we're even in Protean City anymore?
But like, if we go out of here, like in here, I'm not allergic to wood pallets. We have no idea what's up there.
So we're supposed to just sit on our thumbs and just spin? Until somebody comes to save us?
We don't roll that way. Just hang tight for a second. You can stay here if it makes you feel more comfortable. Alina what? And I need to go check something out. We'll be back. Just stay here.
No, I'm not staying down here while you go up.
Well, you sounded nervous. I didn't want to make you nervous.
And Dean says, you know, me and Nancy are going to stay down here and just kind of hold down the fort. We'll maybe put up some of the wood, and then if you're back, like, code word or code knock, so we're not letting just anybody in.
Fine. How about Scaredy Cat?
Oh, I like that one.
And he's looking,
he's
glaring at you.
They did it.
But Frank is like, all right, hell yeah, let's do this. And he goes over to one of the pallets and like, kicks it a little bit and gets like a big old bit of wood. And he's like, let's see what's going on up there.
Okay.
And we get a panel of like looking up the flight of stairs to the door that's up there.
And I'm talking a big game, but I am grabbing your hand for dear life. And I'm like, don't leave me.
And I am doing some breathing exercises that the asset has taught me to keep my heart rate low. And trying not to wince as her nails dig into me.
And Cole definitely has Sage's other hand. And is like walking up with the two of you.
And his cooler.
What?
Does he still have a cooler?
He still has the, definitely still has the cooler. Hasn't thought through enough to be like, I should ditch this. And so we get that shot, and then we get a two-page spread. Because as you open up the door, you see you're kind of in the house that you were in before. If the top of the house was more or less missing. And it looks like things have just been blasted with flame and ash and debris. There's pretty much no furniture at this point inside. And it took a little bit of work to get the door open because it had been boarded up. And you just have like this view of this just destroyed, ruined Protean city looking forth all around you. What do you do?
What the actual fuck?
I am going to assess the situation.
All right, sounds good.
I'm going to let her.
So with most moves, I'm always going to be trying to get a lot of fictional positioning on it. Assess the situation is kind of one that I could wait for you to say, I squint my eyes and look around at stuff, but like, who cares? That's not important to get hit. All right, so when you assess the situation, that is a roll with superior. So go ahead and give me that roll.
What'd you find out, Alina?
So I rolled a 6.
Okay. You're looking out at this wide open waste, which is these shattered, burned buildings. And it just reminds you of, like, this has been your home. This has been your new home. And so it reminds you so much at your core that you have already lost a home like this. Take a powerful blow.
So,
and you want to roll 7. Low.
Backwards rolls. Like
so I got a 7.
Okay. So on a 7, you choose one of those options there. Do you have that in front of you? So you lash out verbally, provoke a teammate to foolhardy action, or take advantage of your influence to inflict a condition. Give ground, your opposition gets an opportunity, or you struggle past the pain, mark 2 conditions.
Okay. I'm hopeless and insecure.
Okay.
Oh. Nobody hurts
my
Alina.
I don't play to win. I play to tell the story.
That's exactly what we should be doing. Okay, so yeah, so you see Alina's face kind of crumple.
Yeah.
She's not feeling good. And Frank kind of like walks forward and is looking around, and he looks back at all of you and goes, maybe Dean has the right idea. It's looking pretty trashed out here.
Yeah, so trashed that there's nobody coming to get us.
I don't know what hiding in a basement is going to solve.
And as you're saying that, you start to hear a repeating sound of some gunfire that's sort of off in the distance. What do you do?
We duck.
Okay.
I do that mama wing thing where I grab everybody's heads and push them down.
And we definitely get that as like two different panels. And all of you peeking up over like a shattered wall. And it doesn't seem like the bullets are coming towards you. But there is definitely a firefight happening probably 2.5 blocks away.
Can I also try to assess the situation?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Maybe she just didn't get a good look because she was feeling some feels.
I got a 7.
Okay, excellent. So on a 7 to 9,
I got a
ask
7,
one.
Sorry. I didn't say it in the mic.
Oh, okay. Excellent. So on a 7 to 9, ask 1, and then take +1 forward when acting on the answers.
What here is the greatest danger?
So as you're watching, you start to see, you start to like make out in the darkness and in the mist, a enormous lumbering shape that's kind of moving itself between shattered pieces of buildings. It has like all these like weird tendrils coming off of it. It's in the distance. It's down by where the gunfire is happening. And clearly the people that are shooting at that. It doesn't seem like that's actually helping though. What do? It's moving closer towards them.
Look over there. Do you see that?
Oh God, why does it have to be tentacles? I hate things with tentacles.
Is Cole still with us or is it just us now?
Yeah, it's the Cole, Frank, and the two of you are up there. Cole is holding onto your hand very, very tightly. And Frank is looking up with the wood thing kind of just dangling in his hand. they both look a little paralyzed.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know what? I think you were right the first time. Why don't you two go downstairs and we'll find some things to barricade the door?
I'm not leaving you up here.
We're fine. It's fine. Go down and tell the others what we saw and we'll be right there.
We promise we'll be quick.
That sounds like you're trying to provoke somebody.
I will.
So what you're trying to do is get them to go downstairs, right?
Yeah.
It's plus superior.
Okay. I got a 7.
Okay. So Frank is like, yeah, this is bigger. And he just like starts to go back towards the basement. But Cole like lets go of your hand and goes, no, this is fucking crazy. I'm not leaving you up here to just go after whatever the hell that is. We have to get somewhere safe. We need to find some supplies and we need to bunker down. Like, I'm not leaving you out here. And you get influence over him.
Awesome.
But like he's firmly, and like Frank is going like, bro, come on. We mm-hmm. like, come on.
I'm going to say a little spell that will temporarily cause him to be sleepy.
Okay.
And he's sort of gonna, like, I'm gonna do it under my breath. Like, I'm sure Alina knows what's going on, but I'm gonna try to be discreet so Frank doesn't know what's going on, and he's just sort of gonna hopefully just fall asleep.
Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers. But normally I would say that this is just something that you can do, but given you're trying to do it stealthily.
This is plus freak, right?
Plus freak, yes.
Yeah, that's a 12.
Okay, yeah. So you're able to kind of just like, just lull him, and he's arguing and he's angry, and then he's falling down. And Frank is like, oh, holy shit. And he's moving forward to him.
I think he passed out.
Yeah, let's get him down there. Downstairs.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think it's best if you just, can you get him downstairs and we'll be right there.
Yeah, don't be long. Okay? We need to get all of us safe. All right. I'll get him down there and I guess look around. And so he's a much bigger guy than Cole, and he just kind of like whoops him up over his shoulder and starts making his way back downstairs. Leaving the two of you up there.
That was kind of sweet, though.
Yeah, yeah. Your fanboy is very sweet.
I mean, I didn't even know that he like really noticed me, and he did. I mean, he remembered like last year. And
Sage?
Yeah.
Focus.
Okay, so big creepy thing over there.
All right. The gunfire has started to slow down. So they're either running out of ammo, or this thing that is now, it's mostly hidden behind a building that still has a couple of floors, may have gotten to them.
Like,
what do you do?
How far away from us is this thing? Like, miles, yards?
This is probably 2.5 blocks away.
Okay. Shit.
I want to say that I kind of sort of recognize in continuing to look at the little snippets of the monster that I can see.
Okay.
And I think I might be recognizing.
Okay.
What we're dealing with.
Yeah, there's an additional clue that you have that, of course, now you're putting it together. Is there a role associated with that?
Been reading the files.
Okay. So what does that say?
So I get to roll plus superior.
Okay.
So something about this monster just seems really, really familiar.
An 11. Nice.
11. Nice. I rolled an 11, guys.
Fantastic. Yay. So let's see that. What does the move say?
On a hit, tell the team one important detail you've learned from your studies. The GM will tell you if anything seems different from what you remember.
Okay, that's on and is that on a 10 plus?
On a 10 plus, ask the GM a follow-up.
Okay.
Yes.
So
suck it, Brandon.
I'm not against you.
I know, but I want to beat you.
So this is, you piece the things together very quickly, that this is Death Shroud, which is a supposed otherworldly being. It hasn't been seen in your world before, but the asset
needless to say, Falcon keeps a lot of files. It is listed as an extra-dimensional threat. And what this is it's this enormous, lumbering, like 15, 16-foot tall humanoid monstrosity that has a big picture, sort of like a mound of a coat, that and just mummy-like tendrils that come off of it. It has like enormous claws, and its face is all wrapped, and it just exists only to kill. And it just, wherever it is, it goes around destroying and killing anyone and everything around it. So when it gets on a planet, things tend to end up like this.
Oh, shit. I knew Death Shroud seemed familiar. I've read about it. He's just, this is bad news, Sage. I don't know if we can handle this.
Well, his name is Death Shroud. do you remember how to do anything to it?
I don't know. Let me think.
If you'd like to, you can also hold on to that fact for later. It's up to you.
Your call.
I think I'll hold on to it
okay.
until we're in the thick of it.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Nice.
Okay. So are you moving to get into the thick of it?
I think there's nothing else to do other than if we want to have a very boring Halloween party down in the bunker.
And probably die.
Yeah.
But Cole is like so cute and he's going to wake up soon. And
he's not going to be cute when he's pushed through an extra dimensional threat's butthole.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
Yes. Less cute. Less
okay,
cute.
Fine.
All right.
Okay. How big is Alina? Is she small?
Yeah.
Ish?
Yes.
Could I carry her? Like piggyback style, could I carry her?
We could always try.
Okay, because I can piggyback and try to levitate the two of us.
Perfect.
As long as I don't call you, you know, Noble Steed, right?
Yeah, preferable.
Okay. All right.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so quick, just... Can you, like, get on my back? Ow, ow, hair, ow,
oh,
ow.
Sorry.
Yeah, but hold on. Just hold on. Not hair. Great. And I'm going to try to levitate us closer, but far enough.
Okay. All right. I'm not exactly sure where this thing's eyes are, so just be really careful, okay?
Okay.
So it's very easy. This is well within your capabilities. You're a ridiculously powerful sorcerer.
Okay.
So we just get, so what is it? How do you fly? Is it Superman? Is it Magneto?
It's more Iron Man without the actual need for my hands
okay.
to be down, but it's I'm pushing against gravity.
Nice. So as you draw closer.
Oh, this is just like the never-ending story.
That might be worse than calling her Noble
Steed. I am not a dragon. How dare you?
Although
that is better than a horse, yeah.
So as you're getting closer, you see that there is a little, it looks like the front of a building that has, like, it looks like it used to be a storefront. And there are five or six people inside in just like black clothing with all sorts of different guns firing up at Death Shroud. And Death Shroud is just creeping ever closer. And one of its big mummy-like arm tendrils just streaks down and grabs one of the resistance fighters by the leg and just hurls him out through the air. And he's flying through space. What do you do?
Can you catch him?
I could try. I'm going to find a discarded lawn chair.
Okay.
And just sort of kind of levitated up towards where the body is flinging.
All right, fantastic. Go ahead and roll to defend.
Okay. This has got to be a hilarious comic.
That's plus savior. I do love that our comic goes so quickly from...
Seven.
Seven, okay. You keep them safe and choose one. On a 7 to 9, expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation.
We're going to have to escalate.
We're going to have to. It was going to happen anyway.
Oh, you also can add a team to the pool take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition.
And I can clear a condition also in addition to what I've just done. Okay. I'm going to clear hopeless.
Yeah, because it feels super, you feel like when you defend somebody, you feel like a superhero. And so you're able to like put aside some of these emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so you levitate up the, and so you said you're going to escalate the situation?
Yeah.
Okay, so you swing the lawn chair up and catch him. But at that moment, Death Shroud begins to just charge forward towards the resistance fighters. He's no longer like awkwardly octopusing his way forward. He's now like galloping towards them and letting out like...
Okay.
And there are just screams of horror coming from them. The guy that you caught, he's just like laying down and definitely shaken up because that should have been his death. What do you do?
I'm going to charge up my burn so that I can attempt to put up a moat.
Fantastic. All right, let's...
Shit.
So that is plus your conditions marked. Do you have any conditions marked?
No.
Oh, so that's a 4?
That's a straight up 4, y'all.
Okay. So on a miss, what happens?
On a miss, hold 2 burn and mark 3 conditions.
Okay, excellent. What are you marking?
Afraid. Which sucks. But it makes sense. Insecure and hopeless.
Okay.
But I do get 2 burn, and I'm going to use one of them to create a barrier in front of the resistance fighters.
Okay.
Between them and this monster.
Awesome. And so that's one of your burns, right?
Yes.
So what does that do?
So that creates a barrier that holds back threats as long as you keep your attention on it. The GM may call me to spend another burn if the barrier is threatened by particularly powerful enemies. So I'm at 1 now.
Okay.
And in order to do this, I had to land.
Okay.
So she's now not on my back. and we're standing there and I'm focusing on my barrier.
Yeah. So you have, what did you say? What was the visual effect with your
It's like,
burn?
It's like auras. It's like wavy lines with auras. So like you see the barrier as sort of maybe a green, like hazy,
okay,
line.
Yeah, so we get a panel of Sage just focused and like her body shaking with all of the power going through her. At this point, we should probably be calling her Penance, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's superhero time.
Does that mean that we've directly engaged a threat and should be getting more team? Because I want that team.
Absolutely. Yes. But give me just a second. So we've got those lines coming off of her, and then this barrier appears of green hazy lines between Death Shroud and the resistance fighters. And like, we get the panel that shows a couple of the bullets like ricocheting off and people going like, whoa, and realizing they need to stop shooting. And then Death Shroud like slams into it and its body just dissipates into the air and all sorts of little tendrils and bits of mummification wrap is all splattered over the ground. And then you see its head begin to rise up again behind the building. Looking towards you, what do you do?
Gross.
Well, I was going to say we either saved the day or made things worse, but it looks like we just made things worse. I'd like to ask my question now.
Hell yes.
Okay, so my question is...
Okay.
What are Death Shroud's vulnerabilities? Most vulnerabilities.
Death Shroud can be fought physically. It's very powerful. Like, it's strong. It does this thing that you just saw, that it takes a hit and just like dissipates through it and then is behind the strike. If it can be held in place, it can be burned, but that doesn't end Death Shroud. Death Shroud doesn't die. And it's like, you know, it's been captured and burned before and it shows up again. So it will but that will solve the problem for you right now. Like, defeating it by catching it and burning it will mean it's gone for a while.
All right.
Do you have any idea how to beat it?
Well, we were on the right track with the fire. Burning it does seem to dissipate it for enough time to recover, but I don't think you can actually kill it. I mean, I don't remember reading it that far. But you have to be able to hold it into one place and burn it. So, I mean, we've got the fire. We just got to figure out how to...
Where do we have fire?
You're the fire.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I can do that. Yeah.
Are you sure? I mean, you look
yeah,
a little...
Yeah, sorry. I was really focused on the barrier. I sort of lost myself for a second. But yes, okay. Yes, I feel pretty confident I can burn it.
You've got a spell, right?
Yeah, it's an... Yes.
So we've just got to figure out a way to corral him into one place and keep him still.
So as all of this has been going, as this discussion's been going down, there's been through the bottom of the panels like little like, sounds going through, and the panel's been set up so it's the two of you, and behind you is the building with Death Shroud kind of like crawling over it slowly. And it's like getting to the barrier, and it has a moment that its arm is, that one of its tendril arms is pushed off, and kind of like looks at it in sort of an annoyance face. And then this little tiny figure is suddenly like running along the tops of a buildings towards it. And then that's where we pick back up with you getting done with your attention to figuring out a solution. And now Death Shroud beginning to come down towards you. What do you do?
What is that thing? Do you see that?
Yeah, I don't know.
You can see at this point that the shape running forward is definitely a person. They're jumping from roof to roof in like a very classic agile superhero sort of way. They're not like the superheroes that you're used to seeing that are confident and adult and put together. They look like they might be about your age, actually. They're in a black and gray costume with like the top is sort of like a leather jacket looking, and with the tight spandex leggings, but are running in. They've got short black hair. They look ethnically ambiguous and have just like a very lithe body. And it's other than that, like they're still a little whiles away, but they're running straight towards Death Shroud. What do you do?
That person's going to get themselves killed.
Well, I
can't do anything. I have to hold this.
Okay. I think I'm going to start just chucking things telepathically at the Shroud. Nice. Trying to get its attention.
Nice.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, go ahead and unleash your powers. That's a roll with freak.
Oh my god!
You might need new dice.
Wait, so you have a 4?
Yes.
So
I have a 4.
Did we ever do this?
Oh, we didn't do that. You are definitely entering battle against a dangerous foe at this
definitely.
Point.
Definitely.
So who's the leader right now between the two of you?
That would be me.
Okay. So do you have influence over your other teammate?
Yes.
Awesome. So that adds a team. Also, we add 2 team automatically. What is your purpose in this fight, Alina?
I'm trying to save a life.
Okay, you're trying to save this person running towards
you. Yeah, I'm trying to buy everybody who's still alive on this in this hellscape some time so we can figure out a way to get this monster still.
Okay, so are you here to save people or are you here to take out Death Shroud?
I'm here to save people.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's another one.
So,
and do you mistrust Alina?
No.
Okay, and I don't think that you're ill-prepared or off-balance. I think you're doing okay. So no subtraction there.
Good job.
Yeah, so you start hurling things up at Death Shroud, and you definitely get its attention. And so it turns towards you and goes,
"You dare to strike at me?"
And at that point, the unknown hero arrives and like punches Death Shroud in the face, and Death Shroud just grabs hold of them and hurls them through a building. They shatter through one side of the building, and you see their form just like hurling out the other side. What do you do?
I think I probably lose my shield because I have to pay attention to it, and that would definitely distract me.
Okay.
Should one of us go check on him?
You work on getting the shield back up. That's the only...
There is some good news. While the shield was up, the resistance fighters took that chance to escape through a back door. Okay. They've scattered like cockroaches.
They're safe.
They're running.
Okay.
And that Shroud's attention is definitely on you.
One of us should check on him to see if he's okay. Also, he looked like he kind of knew what he was doing.
Yeah, my bad.
Well, right up until they were hurled through a building.
That's not your fault.
Again, my bad.
It's not your fault. You tried.
Well, you didn't do that. That's round.
Do you want monster or person?
Oh, man. Honestly, I'm not great with either. I feel like Alina would feel very responsible because he was angry and then kind of just because of what she was doing.
Okay.
And she kind of messed up his arrival.
Okay.
Why do we have to split up, though?
Because the monster's going to fall. I just want attention. I was thinking attention being split would be helpful.
It's coming right towards...
Yeah, we need to just make a decision.
Yeah, what do you do?
All right. I'm going. All right.
Okay. So I'm going to try to...
So just to make sure, yeah. Alina is running towards the fallen hero.
Mm-hmm.
And Penance is standing up to Death Shroud.
I'm going to put a moat back up in front of us.
Okay.
So to at least give her time to get further and give me time to think of another something to do.
Okay.
And that's my last burn.
And so what is the... Does the moat do something? Is the moat the same as the barrier?
It's the same thing. It's the same barrier.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure.
But now it's in front of us instead of in front of the building.
Yeah. So Death Shroud just comes up and places two claws. And now that you can see it closer, it has... The tentacle-looking things look like just mummified limbs that are just extraordinarily long with... Just the dirty cloth hanging down from them. And at the end are just necrotic claws.
Why?
There's like 10 or 12 of them resting up against the barrier. And it puts its face right up against it. And you see at that point that it has just smooth skin where its eyes should be.
Go fast, Alina, please.
But it's just watching you. And it hisses out, "Why do you protect them?"
What?
Sage, don't engage.
And so,
okay.
So we've got a great shot of Penance from behind with like just like looking up at this enormous figure through the thing, and then its claws dig into the barrier. And you see the pointed nails pushing through. That's definitely something big pushing on the barrier. You need to spend another burn.
I don't have any more burns, so I'm going to have to recharge.
All right. Then this is going to be...
I did better this time. So
okay. Well, you add your conditions, and now you have, what, three
11.
New conditions?
Yeah, I'm at 11.
Okay.
So that means I get 3 burn.
Okay, and one of them is spending right now because it starts just slamming its body against the barrier and it's like ripping at it with its claws and you can feel just kind of like a mental pressure from this thing. It's slamming its face right up against it just over and over and over again.
Alina, I don't know how long I can hold this for.
I'm working on it.
You're running over to the fallen figure?
Yes.
Okay, so you get over to them and they are lying just like it's an uncomfortable looking angle, but not this person is definitely dead angle.
Okay.
As now that you're closer, you can see that all of like what you saw before is true. But they're on the back, they're lying on their stomach. On the back, there's a image of like a spiral galaxy with a big crack going down the middle of it, like a logo. So probably like their superhero logo. They've got short cropped black hair and are just lying face down on the ground.
Hey, person, I'm really sorry. are you, I'm going to go down and try to check.
Okay.
The body.
Okay. Are you trying to look, flip him over or?
Or we just sort of maybe find, try and find a pulse.
Okay.
Try and find a face.
Yeah. You're able to find a pulse. It's a little bit, it's like, it's a little slow. Nope. That's not how medicine works. It's a little fast.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to find a pulse. It's a little fast, which makes sense. They've just gone through some pretty hard trauma, but that means they're alive. And you hear like a groan coming out from them. And they're starting to try to shift and move. What do you do?
Hey, I'm so sorry. I'm Alina. Is anything broken? I think I can maybe teleport you, or not teleport you. I can't teleport. I can maybe get you to a more comfortable place. I mean, are you okay? I'm so sorry.
And they kind of like shift and start looking and like moving their shoulders and goes, I'm feeling a little, that wasn't great. That sucked.
Yeah, sorry.
Did you say Alina?
Yeah.
And they turn and you can see they're very androgynous with very smooth skin and just like beautiful features. And they give you this big, broad, warm smile that is still like tinged by all of the pain that they're in. They go, I haven't heard you call yourself Alina for like years. Help me up. What do you do?
I confusedly lend a hand.
Okay.
To the stranger. Yeah, I didn't catch your name.
They take your hand and pull themselves up, and they're just like cracking all sorts of limbs because like going through a building doesn't feel great. But you don't see any visible bruises. So clearly this person has some degree of invulnerability. You know, like this is definitely a super. It's not like Sokotoa putting on his costume and running out and risking his life in every single combat.
He tries hard.
He does. But they grin and say, I'm Fracture. And we've met a lot of times before, but you're not going to probably remember me unless you have a photo. Do you have one of the photos?
Photos? What?
You haven't met me. I've met you. Listen, I think we need to handle things first, and then we'll get back to small talk.
Right. Okay. Do you know what that is? That's a death shroud.
Yeah, that's death shroud. We see each other a lot, actually. And so then you see them kind of like turning and like looking through the rubble for a second, and they pick up a like what looks like a camera case, and sling it back over their shoulder, and look back to you and go, all right, are you ready to go back in, Arcana?
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Penance is played by Elsbeth Denman, who can be found on Twitter at The Cat on the Wall. Alina Mars is played by Jessica Benigni, who can be found on Twitter at HerLockHolmes. The introduction was voiced by Peter DeGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us at our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com or follow us on Twitter at Protean City. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or wherever podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.